Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Okay, and today's topic, we're going to focus some more on the body. And today's topic is called Body as Transmitter and Receiver. Okay, so yesterday we had an incredible show, The Body and the Soul. We're going beyond yesterday's topic today. Yesterday's show was so funny that my mother and my sister and a whole bunch of people called me up and said that yesterday's show was the all-time classic in the history of the Astrology Hour. So if you missed the show, someone even called and said Jim Dolce and I should have a morning radio show in Southern California that we'd be number one. Someone called me and said that we were so funny that it was unbelievable. But anyway, let's continue that show today and get to talk about more about the body as transmitter and receiver. Okay. Now, first of all, the human body, as you know, is a biological phenomena that is developed and created through conception between two people when they are involved in intimate intercourse. Okay. So the baby is created biologically, but the whole time that the biological effect is going on, there's also a cosmic effect at the same time that is occurring that is also affecting the growth of that baby. In the womb, there's an astrological cycle that affects that baby's growth as far as its womb life. And then beyond the womb, when it is born, I really have proven that each and every cell, with particular emphasis on the brain cells, are imprinted by the state of the universe at the moment of birth, the moment that the soul makes its final signature on the baby. When the baby opens its eyes and the breathing cycle begins is when that initial astrological effect occurs. Okay, so what we are dealing with is a biologically created life form, okay, from two people that is charged by a cosmic effect at birth. Okay, so this life form is a vehicle that is given a certain amount of energy at birth that will help this vehicle process data that it will receive during its life cycle. Now, because the universe is fluid, it's an ocean, and the universe, from our point of view, as we look at the planets and the asteroids and the moon and the sun moving through the sky, there's a lot of activity going on upstairs when we look in the sky. It's very busy up there. It's very mobile, okay? So when we notice this mobility, what astrologers have been able to do throughout the centuries and throughout the eons, right, and throughout the thousands of years, is they've been able to use their intuitive minds, okay, a very higher part of ourselves, and put together the meanings, the significance of the movement of the bodies of light in the sky, the planets and the moon. Of course, the stars really don't move very much from our point of view, so we on Earth like to focus on planetary movements to understand this engine, this solar system we live in, and how it charges the human body at birth. Okay, and that astrological charge is very, very significant, and I'm going to tell you why in this topic, which is a continuation of yesterday's show. I'll tell you why. It's because the body receives so much data from so many different levels that it's confusing and complicated to try to figure it all out. I don't know. Like, once again, a lot of people don't sit down like Farley Malaris and perceive exactly what's going on. But I do. You know, when I have nothing else to do, I sit down and try to figure it all out. And if you understand one thing, first of all, the body, okay, as the vehicle for the soul, or the vehicle for the consciousness of the entity, the animated part of our being, right? The body is constantly receiving data, and it's receiving data from many levels. First of all, the body is receiving data from environment. So I'm going to write that down. Environment, which means it's picking up data from family, from friends, from television, from neighbors, whatever. The material world or the conscious mind receives data from the basic environment. That's point number one. Point number two, the body is receiving data from the dream state of consciousness. Because when you're sleeping, even when you're sleeping, unless you go to sleep stoned on your brain or so unconscious that you have no memory of what happened when you wake up, right? Most of us have a pretty active dream state. So we receive data when we're awake in the conscious state, and we receive data when we're asleep in the dream state. And like I say, the data that we're receiving in the dream state, there's no telling where that's coming from. That can be coming from entities that are not carnate, are not alive entities. That could be coming from guides or even demons. It could be coming from our higher self. It's interdimensional, so it's hard to define exactly where the data in the dream state is coming from, and we should not take for granted, you know, anything. No matter what people say or no matter what they read in books, metaphysically speaking, there's no way of truly knowing for sure where the data in the dream state is truly coming from, especially if it's scary stuff. Okay, that's why I use crystals when I sleep at night. Okay, number three, we have this thing called intuition, where we are awake or sleeping and we're receiving data from some place that's like, I don't know if you've ever seen the cartoons with the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. Well, that's what I call intuition. You know, there's something inside of us that says, yes, okay, no problem. And another part of us that says, no, no way, don't do it. You know, and it creates like a physiological effect in our body, which actually affects the chakra system. Okay, the chakra system is what I call the skeleton of the soul, or the energy centers of the soul inside of our body that actually serve as receiver and transmitter base stations, okay, as a way for our soul, our different dimensions of our own minds, different levels of consciousness, to communicate with ourselves through body energies, right? So that's why we feel twinges in our stomachs, or we get headaches, or we get sore throats or clogged throats, or we have digestive problems or changes in that area, because the chakras are being activated by the higher self, by the intuitive mind, and by the different parts of our essence to try to communicate to us the way to go. See, because the whole point of life, see, is to make the right choice, the right choices. See, that people think they're born in a random squabble of energy. You're wrong, because there's a mission to the madness of life, and you are held responsible by your own self as to your own choices. But the problem is, it's a complicated situation, because first of all, you're dealing with a soul, right, that is extremely pure and loving and caring and highly evolved and wise and powerful in essence, and that soul is trying to shine through a body that exists in an environment, right, number one, where it receives all this data from the material world, okay? It is charged a certain way to respond to this data, which is not always nice, because some of the data that comes in, the way the body is charged at birth and the environment the body is placed in, the family, the country, the city, the town, the neighborhood, is not always a positive, supportive environment. It's often hostile environment, okay? So here we are, this innocent essence, this soul, in a potentially hostile environment, right? And our bodies, because they're charged astrologically a certain way, are reacting to this karma. And sometimes it's not good, because some of the choices we make are negative, hateful, jealous, vindictive, competitive, obsessive, and that obviously overturns the entire metaphysical apple cart and sets back our karma, and we have to experience even more pain, because the body is the element of pain syndrome, right, and pleasure syndrome. And then we receive more data in our dream state, right, that can really complicate things, because you can have a dream about something that's going on in your life and then think that's real and go, oh, I had a dream about exactly what's going on in this relationship, so we have to break up, you know, and that could be complicated. Then you're receiving data from your intuitive mind, right, which is your gut feelings and your gut aches and your headaches and stuff, and you're not paying attention to a lot of that, many of you, because you're subjected to trying to deal with the environmental data and the material data and the family data and what you read in books and what you see in soap operas and what you see in movies, and you become a creature of habit. And the intuitive mind, serving as vestibule for the higher self, which truly is supposedly in control of this thing, but it's not. The higher self, the whole purpose, the point of life here is kind of interesting, because the higher self tries its whole life cycle to get through to the soul in the body to let it know what's going on. But there's so much interference going on that if you think about all the data that the body is receiving and transmitting in any one given time, it's incredible that we survive as long as we do. I'd be surprised if most of us weren't in an extremely confused state of being because of all that energy that's coming into our systems. And let's take a look at what else is going on. What else is going on is, okay, we're receiving data from our basic environment. We're also getting involved with people karmically speaking and can place ourselves in hostile environment. Let's say you end up joining the army during the Vietnam War, or let's say you end up moving to East LA, or let's say that you end up in Salvador during that period of time. See, so the level of data that could come in can be so hostile and so frightening and scary that the chances of the higher mind and the intuitive mind getting through to you to let you know where your true salvation and sanctuary is often limited. And then at the same time, many of us are trained in fundamental religious organizations, right, to believe in a savior outside of ourselves, that there is somebody out there that is godlike or God in qualities that one day will either come through us in a vision or in a meditation or actually return to earth, be resurrected, whatever, and we must wait for them or pray for them to come and save us. So many of us put our lives totally on hold and act as sheep because we don't like to acknowledge an existence of a higher part of our own being, that which in fact is a reflection of this God particle, this energy. See, so we're living on a planet with 5 billion people that are receiving all this complicated data from their environment, from their dream state, from their intuitive mind, and all the higher selves are trying to break through, to get through to that soul and to let them know what's going on. You know, meanwhile, the body is astrologically charged one way or the other, and the more confused it can be charged through mutable energies like Gemini, Pisces, Virgo, and Sag, which totally make it difficult to make a choice because sometimes you'd rather run than choose with that energy. Or let's say some of these bodies would be charged with an assortment of fixed vibrations like Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, and Taurus, which makes you so know-it-all-ish or stubborn that either you refuse to hear what anyone else is saying or you think you know the right thing to do, so you end up getting burned that way. Or you're like a nonstop freight train with no brakes, and you have this Aries, Capricorn, Cancer, Libra factor in your chart, and you refuse to even pay attention to anything going on because you're so busy you don't care. You know, and that's what happens. The body gets charged and gets weighed. It receives a factor at birth that could be either a fixed factor or a cardinal factor or a mutable factor. So you can score your chart. Like, I'll tell you what mine is. I have 4 planets in Leo. That's 4 fixed. I have 1 planet in Scorpio. I have 5 fixed in my score. Okay, I have no Taurus and no Aquarius, so I have a total of 5 fixed. And my mutables, Sag, Pisces, Virgo, and Gemini, I have 1 Gemini planet, Uranus, and 1 Sag planet, Jupiter. So I have a score of 2 mutable. And then my cardinals, which is Libra, Aries, Capricorn, and Cancer, I have 3 Libras, rising Mars and Neptune. And then I have 1 Cancer, Venus. So I am a fixed individual. I have 5 fixed in my chart, which means I have come from a stubborn, know-it-all-ish type background. That's how my body was charged, which means no matter what the data was in my environment, no matter what the data was from the dream state, no matter what my intuition was, my body was charged with an abundance of Leo Scorpio, which means this little baby grew up stubborn, arrogant, conceited, jealous, competitive, vindictive, and all those things that epitomized the fixed elements in the zodiac. So until I finally made contact and communion with my intuitive mind and higher self and learned to soften this vibration, I was in a lot of pain. Okay? And then let's say you score yourself and find out you have a higher score in the mutables, Pisces, Gemini, Virgo, and Sag. The mutables outweigh the cardinals and the fixed. Well, then you would be a person who would maybe be so submissive or so subjected to being manipulated or coerced or conned, or you might be so naive or so too gentle in your approach to life that people would use you and thrash you and manipulate you, and eventually you turned out to be a scared rabbit. from that. That's one extreme. And then let's say you're one of the cardinals, you have an abundance score in Aries, Cancer, Capricorn, or Libra. Well, you're so busy, you have time, you don't even have time to listen to yourself or to other people. So that, I call that the freight train to hell. You know, so it gets rather complicated, and how the body is charged at birth will give us an idea of the initial effect, karmically speaking, of how the individual person will react to all this data being thrown to the body, which acts as a super absorbent. You ever hear that term in commercials? This is super absorbent. A super absorbent computer and memory bank, you know, where all this memory is stored. And the mistake that we make is oftentimes we choose and we react to life situations from the wrong data. In other words, we take all the memory that's come in through our conscious mind, and a lot, and even some through the dream state. Many of us pay no attention to our intuition and refuse to even accept or embrace or acknowledge the higher self, the part of us that truly is evolved and ascended beyond anything we could learn on Earth. Because many people will tell you, and if you heard yesterday's show, that 1989 Earth history is a very barbaric planet. And when people look back at this planet in this time frame, in 21st century Earth, 20th century Earth, they're going to look at this place as a living hell, as a terror, as a horror. And a lot of us are out there thinking like, oh, we got it made. No problem. We got our TV. We got our video, Matt. We got our video recorders. We got telephones. We got cars. We got car phones. We got food. We got McDonald's. We got Burger King. We got this. We also have death, hunger, strife, starvation, misery, depression, economic depression, poverty. We have AIDS, heart disease, cancer. We have a lot of things. We are in denial. We also have a sophisticated propaganda system on this planet that lets some of us think that we are have it made, and the rest of them are all dying. You know, and what's going on right now in this time frame is we are being offered a choice to get through to the higher part of ourself, which is truly the spirit part of our nature, or the God part of our nature. We are given the opportunity to form a communion with this part of our nature and to embrace it as the true wealth of essence in existence. You know, like, I want you to put in front of you an imaginary balance scale like Libra and put everything you own on one side, everything and anything you could dream of owning or possessing, people, relationships, love, money, and then on the other side put your spirit. And you tell me which side weighs heavier. Okay, my side that weighs the heaviest is the spirit. You know why? Because Farley Malaris is going to be dead one day. I hate to tell you all this, but everybody got to die one day. And my spirit is what's going to take me and continue me through this eternal adventure. You know, everything that I make or attain or acquire in this 80, 70, 80, 60, 50 year life cycle is going to evaporate like a dream. It's going to be gone. You know, if you ever remember people that you've never seen again, or experiences or places you've never been again, and you try to think about it and remember it, and it was like a dream. It's gone. They're gone. And that's what life is. See, like, the whole thing is that we are actually we're propagandized by all this environment and data that comes in to a body that is karmically charged to respond in an oversensitive manner to all this data that we set ourselves up to receive. And take the whole thing so personal that we make ourselves sick about it, we get depressed about it, we don't be spiritual about it, we escape from it. Then besides throwing that into the body, what about other elements we put into the body? Like food, poison, toxin, you know, pollution, cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, preservatives. You know, we treat this body like it's a rag. But this is the temple of our soul. This is the temple of the vestibule of the spirit. This is what houses our spirit. But we thrash, you know, the skin of our spirit. We thrash the body, so many of us. And this is all we have to protect the spirit during this limited experience. And then the rest of us, many of us, have these balance scales, and they have the material world far outweighing the value of their spirit. And that's why they keep being reincarnated over and over again, because they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't understand what the true wealth and the value of life is. It's to understand and preserve and embrace the power of God within, the spirit of God within. So what people do is they put all their priorities into money and power and manipulation, you know, subtly. You know, because if your body's charged with a high score in the fixed or a high score in the cardinal, the freight train to hell, or the stubborn know-it-allish type person, or a high score in the mutables, that is the one who is subject to everything, you know, the slave, the prisoner, that's what I call that. High score in mutables is the slave or the prisoner. High score in fixed is the know-it-all dictator, and high score in the mutables is the freight train to hell. You know, so if you don't adhere to the spirit, that's the worst you can be. You can take a look at your life if you're a high scorer in cardinals and go, you know what, Farley? Before I became spiritual, you're right. It was a freight train to hell. And now it's a freight train to heaven. You know, and there's so much data coming in. There's so much data coming in about politics and about religions. What type of God to believe in? Who's the Savior? Who's the Messiah? What sect do we believe in? What are the rules? What are the commandments? You know, there's all this information coming in where if you don't do this, you're an infidel, and if you don't do that, you'll be punished. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and you'll be punished to eternal damnation if you don't do this. And the whole lot of us is being manipulated by a bunch of people that are heavy score in the fixed, to think they know the answers, so they develop these myths into big famous religions, when where's God in the bottom line? Had you ever wondered why the miracles of the Bible stopped after Jesus left, and why no one finished the book? Did you ever sit down for a moment and wonder why no one else ever parted the Red Sea, or why the angel of death never came around to all the houses and killing the firstborn, or why no one else ever walked on water or changed water to wine? Or, you know, had you ever contemplated that? Yeah, did you ever wonder that maybe it was not true? Is it possible that it wasn't true? And I'm not trying to tell you what's right, you know, even though some people wonder what happened 2,000 years ago. We don't have a record, really, of videotape or movies of exactly what went on. But what I do know is this is 1989, and I'm here right now with my higher self. And paying attention to my higher self, my higher mind, my intuitive mind, and some of the data coming in from the other side, that is not all blasphemed and perverted by, like, the data coming in on Earth, is starting to lead me to think that there's a lot more to the universe than what you read in books and what you hear in churches or synagogues or any kind of temples or sacred areas, that your temple of God truly is your body, which is the transmitter. The church of God is your body, and the spirit of God is within. You know, that's my logical, and people say, oh, Farley, you have such a major ego. How could you tell us all that we're God? I go, hey, man, that's what I, you know, unless somebody else shows up and gives me some idea of what else is going on, this show is dedicated to open-mindedness in the search for further thought. And the only proof I have seen of God in my life has been in people, in their eyes, in their minds, in the love from their hearts. And people, you know, is God. That, you know, that's the closest thing I could find. It's the I am. That's why, you know, when the Judaic, in the Hebrew definition of God, Elohim, is translated into English terms, it means I am. Now, what does that tell you? You know, if you want to know what God is, it's the I am. It's this thing inside of me that's talking. It's that thing inside of you that's talking. It's a massive experience. It's an adventure of metaphysical cosmic proportions, where this essence, this consciousness expresses itself in billions of computer terminals, receiving tons of data and trying to have fun in its eternal adventure of blissful variety. You know, it's just wild. It's totally wild. So next time you sit down and try to think about all this, maybe you should listen to yesterday's show and today's show as some further input to realize the incredible amount of data that the body takes in, and to try not to be such a habitual creature in responding to what the conscious mind received. Look forward, look beyond that, and be aware of the charge your body had at birth, the astrological charge. And also be aware that there is something beyond that you can't see, that you can't really feel all the time, the higher self, that through meditation, and sober lifestyle and embracing the spirit, you know, letting the spirit outweigh the material in those balance scales, then what you're doing is you're giving credence and acceptance and identification to that part of yourself that does have some data that you might use, that might come in handy, that might help you overcome your pain, your suffering, your obsession in this extremely limited experience, a drop in the bucket next to the eternal existence of the universe. That's what our life is, a drop in the bucket. Okay? Yeah, what kind of topics are these? Where are you getting these topics at, Farley? I'm getting them from an extraterrestrial consciousness, actually. It's from Ula. Okay, now anyway, I hope this show's on tape. If this show's not on tape, I'm really out of here. I'll tell you, this Mercury retrograde is driving me crazy. But this show is a show, isn't it funny how we define God as people today, and that's exactly what makes the show work, people. And I want to thank those of you that get intimately involved in this show by supporting it, by joining the club. It's a different kind of experience, the Astrology Hour. One wonders how this show may be remembered in the coming years when we're all turning 70, 80, and 90 if we survive what's about to occur on this planet. We'll look back at the 80s and go, you remember that Looney Tune that was on LA radio talking all this stuff? Yeah, well, at least someone might say, well, he tried, okay?